Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Ches. We left off on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page at Tashema. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Seymour Gertz and family in memory of Seymour's father, Rav Aryeh Leib ben Rabbi Eliezer Isaac, Alav Hashalom, whose yard site is Yud Zayin Av, the Nesham Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of bringing rayas in this machlokas that we had yesterday, where we had two versions of the machlokas about whether schach pasul be'emsa hasukkah also has a shear of dalet amos, or do we say no, that schach pasul min atzad is bedalet amos, but be'emsa hasukkah the pasul would be even with four tfachim. So we're going to have one final raya in that discussion. Then the Gemara is going to bring a machlokas whether there's yesh lavud be'emsa or ein lavud be'emsa. The Mishnah told us that if next to the wall you have less than three tefachim of airspace before the schach begins, that that's perfectly fine. But more than three tefachim of airspace is not okay. What about in the middle of a sukkah? You have a whole schach of the sukkah, and then you have less than three tefachim of airspace in the middle. Do we apply the principles of lavud even be'emtza sukkah, or do we not apply the principles of lavud? We're going to bring the source of each shita, what the raya is for each shita. Then the Gemara is going to have two different teachings of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. One about schach al gabe on if you're mesakech on a bayis shenivchas on a roof that caved in, and the other one about identifying a particular fish whether it's kosher or not depending on where that fish comes from. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have machlokas about pitikra yored v'sosein, that what are the limitations of that principle that if you have a surface of a roof that we view halach l'moshe misinai, that surface of the roof, the side surface, is viewed as if it continues straight on down. That it's a pitikra that's viewed as yori v'sosim, as if it closes off the area that surrounds it. So that's going to be the discussion, Bez Hashem, on Amud Beis. Let's begin right now on Yud Zayin Beis, three lines from the end of the page, Tashema. So again, we were discussing whether schach pasels be'emtza with dalet amos or with dalet tfachim. And Rav held, at least that schach pasul be'emtza is only with four tfachim, according to the first lashon of Rav, right? That's what we pointed out yesterday, that it seems a little bit funny that that's how we paskin, considering that we typically paskin like a lishna basra, not like a lishna kama. And the lishna basra of Rav, the second version of Rav, had Rav pasuling only bedalet amos be'emtza. So we discussed why it is that so many rishonim and lahalacha say that we paskin like the first version of Rav, that bedalet Fachim be'emtza, bedalet amos is minatzad. But going on that first lashon of Rav, that be'emtza schach pasul is bedalet tfachim and not bedalet amos, Tashema will bring a raya against that. Sikcha b'nisarim shaler sheish ben harba'a, if you're misakech with boards of wood that are made of four tfachim, divrei hakol psula, everyone holds that the sukkah is going to be pasul. This price will be, if you recall back, we had a machlokas tanaim about being misakech with boards, and a machlokas amoraim what size boards the machlokas tanaim was really about. The machlokas Rav and Shmuel, what the machlokas Shammeir and Rabbi Yehuda was really about. So this brisa is assuming, like the shita of Shmuel, that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Meir is about boards that are anywhere between 3 and 4 tefachim wide. But once it's more than 4 tefachim wide, everyone's going to agree, all the Tanayim are going to agree, that that's going to be pasul. But the previous price we quoted was following the sheet of Rav, that the whole machlokas was when it's 4 tefachim wide, but if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, then everyone would agree that it's kosher. But we're assuming that the machlokas is between 3 or 4 tefachim, and 4 tefachim, and more than 4 tefachim is going to be pasul divrei hakol. So that's what the Braisa says, that if you're misakich ben sarim shaleres sheish ben arba'a, divrei hakol psula. Both Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they're all going to say it's pasul, because that's what you would make a normal roofing material out of. So the Chacham say, gzeiras tikra, you're not allowed to make a schach out of that which people would use for normal roofing material, because a person is going to look up and say, this looks very similar to my house, I might as well stay in my house, what do I have to be in a sukkah for? And that, of course, is going to be a psul of sukkah, v'lo beso shel kol yemos ha'shana, that you have to be in a special sukkah, not in the place where you spend your whole year. But ein ben arba'a, but if the boards that you are misakech with are less than 4 tvachim, but it's somewhere between 3 and 4 tvachim, rameir posel v'ribidu makshir. That's where you have machlok. machlokas Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. The Rameir says pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says such a thing is kasher. But a moda Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir is going to be moda that if the boards are pasul for sikuch, that there are more than four tefachim. Shim yesh pei neser le neser kimelon neser sheminiach pasul b'nei mukshera. That if in between these boards you have the amount of space that's the size of the boards themselves, then you could fill that space with pesel, meaning with kasher eschach. That's what we always refer to as we refer to kasher eschach as pesel because it's a psolus garden viekev is where we derive the concept of what is kosher schach and what's not kosher schach. You recall we had a discussion. The Mishnah had said that anything that's gedulah min haaretz and is ainu mekabel tuma is kosher schach. So the Gemara tried to figure out, well, how do I know that? Is it from the eidiala min haaretz? And just like a cloud is or a mist is gedulah min haaretz and is not mekabel tuma. But ultimately we said because psolus garden viakev akasim dam, that it's the psolus garden viakev. So that's why we always refer to kosher schach as the pesel, as the psal. Or the pasel, I don't know what the right way to pronounce it. Pesel is like an idol, but it means the junk from the that which grows from the ground, not the fruit, but the stalks and things like that, and the pieces of wood that grow from the ground. So as long as you put kosher schach in between, that's the same size as these boards, then it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the kasher? So bishul amos. If you hold that it's that the shear is going to be dalet amos, whether you're talking about on the sides of the sukkah where you're going to apply dofen, where you would think to apply dofen akuma, or whether you're talking about be'emtza sukkah, it's also going to be a shear of dalet amos mishamachik sheira. Then I understand why it's going to be kosher if you fill in the space in between with kosher schach, because even though the four tefach boards themselves are pasul to use for schach, but they're not going to pasul the sukkah because it's less than four amos of schach pasul. So you can just stay under the pesel, under the schach kosher, and then you're going to be fine. El miandiyam rabiyamtza barba'a, but if you hold that even ba'emtza sukkah, four tefachim is the magic number, I'm like Shera, then why would Rameir say that it's kosher to just stick in kosher schach in between them? If there's schach pasul, that's arba tefachim in the middle of your sukkah, pasul's the whole sukkah. So I don't care what you have in between it; it's going to pasul the whole sukkah. So that's a raya against the shita of Rav that four tefachim be'emtza is enough to pasul the sukkah. Because if that were true, why would it be enough to stick in schach kosher in between the nesarim? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Shua, hacha b'sukkah d'lavia ela shmona mitzvotzamos haskina. No, the case that we're talking about where you stick in the pesel in between the nesarim, that's the same size of the nesarim themselves, is talking about a sukkah that's exactly 8 amos. 8 amos means 48 tefachim. So if you do the math and say, and the case is, we have neser, upesel, neser, upesel, neser, upesel, mehai gisa, and neser, neser, upesel, neser, upesel, neser, upesel, mehai gisa. You have four tefachim of board, four tefachim of kasher schach, four tefachim of board, four tefachim of kasher schach, and you keep going like that. You have and then from one side, and you start the same way on the other side, four tefachim of board, four tefachim of kasher schach, four tefachim of kasher schach, and then in the middle, two sets of four tefachim of kasher schach are going to meet with each other, which means that in the middle you'll have eight tefachim of kasher schach. That's a sheer hechsher sukkah. What about all the boards that you have on the side? Dofen akuma, that's all minatzad. It's less than four amos from the side of the wall. So that's from the sides of the sukkah, from the walls of the sukkah. So then you're going to be able to apply dofen akuma. So that's what, and everyone agrees you can apply dofen akuma minatzad, that up to four amos minatzad is okay. The whole machlokas was whether in the middle we have up until four amos. But over here in such a sukkah, you're going to have eight fachim of continuous schach kosher in the middle. Davlu shnei psalim be'emtza, you'll have two psalim meaning two sets of schach kosher in the middle that totals eight fachim, vika hechsher sukkah be'emtza, and therefore you have enough for a kosher sukkah in the middle. The Aruch Lener raised the question that we said in the Gemara's Raya, we said, I understand very well if you assume bein min emtza bein min atzad is ba'arba amos, that's why it's going to be kosher. Says the Aruch Lener, wait a second, does that really work? Meaning, in the Gemara's question, we assumed if you hold that ba'arba amos be'emtza, then that schach puzzle is only going to be problematic. If you have four amos of schach puzzle in the middle, then having a board of four tefachim in the middle is not going to be a problem. Or having four tefachim a board, four tefachim a schach, four tefachim a board, four tefachim is not going to be a problem. Says the Aruch Haner, why isn't that a problem? Because even though it's true, it's not going to puzzle the whole sukkah, you're still not allowed to sit under a board. You got to sit under schach kasher. So how can one possibly position his body where he's not sitting under a board? Meaning, the schach kasher is only four tefachim of schach kasher. Rosh of ruba of a person is seven tefachim. So when he sits under the pesel, he's partially sitting under schach pasel also. So shouldn't that be fundamentally problematic that he's partially sitting under schach pasel? So says the Aruch Haner, no, whenever we said seven tefachim, we always said Rosho Verubo is seven tefachim. That is Rosho Verubo Vishulchana. So he says the halacha is that seven tefachim is Rosho Verubo. So what is kulo? What does it take to get the entirety of the person under? How much space does Rubo is not kulo? So what's kulo? How large is the entirety of a person? So says the Aruch Haner, not sure exactly where he pulls the number, but he says ten tefachim. Probably because we assume Rosho Verubo is vav tefachim. Rosh of Rubo Vishulchano is Zayin Tvachim, but Rubo is Vav Tvachim, so if Rov of him is Vav Tvachim, probably means just a Rov, and therefore Kulo of the person is Ten Tvachim. So in order to get Rov of the person under Schach Kasher, if the entirety of the person takes up Ten Tvachim, and you keep alternating four Tvachim of Schach Kasher, four Tvachim of board, four Tvachim of Schach Kasher, so put him under four Tvachim of Schach Kasher, the next four Tvachim of his body are going to be under a board, and then he's got two more Tvachim of his body. And that will also be under Schach Kasher. So it will turn out that six Tvachim of his body are under Schach Kasher. Ah, so you have Rubo under Schach Kasher. And that's why the Gemara assumes that it's automatically going to work. That's how the Aruch Haner does the math. It's also interesting, in the Gemara's answer, we said that we're dealing with its Shmona Amos Mitzumtzamos. It's exactly an 8 Amos Sukkah. And therefore, as long as you have eight tefachim of schach kasher in the middle, you could apply dofen akuma on either side. So that's how Rashi understands. The Marsha writes, when Rashi says that it's four amos, it just means that it can't be, that it's eight amos rather, it just means that it can't be more than eight amos. Because once you're going more than eight amos, then you're not going to be able to apply dofen akuma anymore. But it could be less than eight amos also, meaning he says it's a lav dafka that it can't be less than eight amos. And let's say it were 32 tefachim. You would also be able to makshu the sukkah. You have four it would just be 16. So if you have a 32 tefach sukkah, so you would have 16 tefachim on each half, right? So you start with four tefachim of pesel of neser, four tefachim of pesel, four tefachim of neser, four tefachim of pesel, and the same on the other side. You'd still have eight tefachim of pesel, eight tefachim of kasher schach in the middle, and it would still be fine. You would still say dofen akuma. That would work too. Meaning, you don't have to use the maximum number for dofen akuma. You could have dofen akuma up until four amos, but you could have less than four amos. That works for dofen akuma as well. So that's what Marsha points out, that he doesn't understand why Rashi insists that it's got to be eight amos, it's got to be 48 tefachim. Eight amos is 48 tefachim. Why not just say that it's 32 tefachim and you'd have the same result? So the Aruch Haner says, yeah, you understand why Rashi wanted to give the example, why the Gemara wanted to give the example of eight amos, because if you were to give an example of 32 tefachim, so how many amos is 32 tefachim? If each amos is six tefachim, so then you got to start doing math, right? Because six tefachim, 30 tefachim, so that's 5 amos plus 2 tefachim. So we don't like to start working with fractions. We'd rather have something that's a whole number. So it's much easier to say 48 tefachim, to say 8 amos. Then you don't have to deal with fractions. But to say to say 8 amos, you don't have to deal with fractions at all. And it works much easier, and it still works. And the halacha would still work for dofen akuma. The Achronim raised the question, the Rishonim really raised the question, that how did we set up this case of Dofen Akuma? You have Neser, Upesel, Neser, Upesel, Neser, Upesel, Neser, Upesel, okay? And then on the other side, the same way, they have Pesel in the middle. What if it was Neser, Uneser, 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 Upesel, right? And the same, you board, 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 Pesel. it would still be the same thing. I mean, I don't care how much schach kasher there is on the side. I'm using dofen akuma anyway on the side. So why do I care how much schach kasher there is on either side? All that matters is that there's eight tefachim of schach kasher in the middle. Everything on the side I'm blocking out anyhow, because all of that is going to be dofen akuma. So the Rishonim raised that question. So they say that maybe it's teaching us that you're allowed to sleep under the pesel that's bein neser l'neser, even on the side. That you're even allowed to utilize that part of the sukkah. Maybe that's the chiddush. If that's true, that is quite a chiddush, that you're allowed to utilize the area under the dofen akuma. Remember Rashi yesterday's daf had two possibilities of how dofen akuma works. Does dofen akuma work as it's literally a continuation of the wall, or does it work that we take the wall and we view it as if it just moves over, and whatever is under the dofen akuma is outside of the sukkah? That's considered a michutz l'sukkah. So either way, it's a chiddush to say that you're allowed to stay under the pesel. Other rishonim disagree and say that that when there's dalet fachim in the nesarim, you can't sleep under the pesel that's kasher either. Between the nesarim, you're only allowed to sleep under the two psalim ha'emtzayim, the two middle psalim, which have hechsher sukkah. That's the pashas. That's what Tosa said back on daf yud dalet amud beis, and that's l'chora the pashas. So we don't really need to have set up the case of Nesar Pesel, Nesar Pesel. It could have been just been board, and then eight tefachim of Pesel in the middle, and it would have made the same point. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara now, on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So we had said that a sukkah that has airspace of less than three tefachim is kasher midin lavud. But the case the Mishnah spoke about was that there's airspace between the wall and the beginning of the schach that's less than three tefachim. If it's more than three tefachim, then it's no longer lavud. So says the Gemara, Amar Abayi, Avir Shlosha B'sukkah Gedola, what if you have three tefachim of airspace in a large sukkah, Umiyato bein bekanim bein beshvudin, or and then you fill in the airspace. Now, if you fill it in with kasher schach, that's great. Says Abaye Chiddush, you fill it in with pasul schach, have miut. It works, and the sukkah is going to be kasher. Why? Because the airspace itself is now going to be less than three tefachim. So less than three tefachim, because you're filling in some of it. So less than three tefachim of airspace is not enough to pasul the sukkah. And the schach pasul, the metal bars that you're filling it in with, aren't four tefachim. You need four tefachim of schach pasul to be a problem. So since you're filling it in with something that's less than four tefachim, it's not going to be a problem. The truth is, the Gemara could have given a case that that you have four tefachim of schach pasul and you remove some of it. Right? Four tefachim, meaning what we're trying to say is, you look at your sukkah, you have a non-kosher sukkah, and then you do something that you would think would make it even more non-kosher, but now it becomes kosher. Right? I have three tefachim of airspace, non-kosher. So now I stick in metal, and that makes it kosher. I stick in some metal, because now it's less than three tefachim of airspace, and less than four tefachim of schach pasul. The Gemara could have given a case. I look at my sukkah, I have four tefachim of metal bars. So what do? I just take some of them down. I don't put any schach kasher there. I just take some of them down. That also makes a sukkah kasher, because now you're creating airspace of less than three tefachim, which will be lavud, and you've minimized the schach pasul to less than four tefachim. So either way, but that's the case the Gemara gives, is you have airspace, and you fill it in with shvudin, you fill it in with metal sticks, so then it's going to be a valid meal, the sukkah is going to be kasher. However, the sukkah katana, if you have sukkah katana, meaning the bare minimum size sukkah of 7x7 tefachim, then the halacha is different. Then if you have three tefachim of airspace and you fill it in bikanim, you fill it in with kasher schach, have a miyut. That's wonderful. That's going to make a sukkah kshela. But bashvudin lo have a miyut. If it's a sukkah katana to begin with, and it has three tefachim of airspace, and you start filling in metal bars, then that is not going to validate the sukkah. The sukkah is going to be pasul. Even though you don't have four tefachim of schach pasul, you don't have three tefachim of avir, but since within the seven tefachim, there's a makum chashuv of three tefachim that does not have schach kasher, then because the avir and the shvudim are not schach kasher, so you don't have a sheer sukkah. When the sukkah katana, you can't have of the whole thing is seven tefachim. You can't have three of those tefachim being used up with non-kosher schach. So says Gemara, now this idea that less than three tefachim we're going to apply lavud, says the Gemara, a chiddush, Abayi says a chiddush, that's only if it's min atzad, it's only if it's off to the side of the sukkah. Avol be'emtza, pligi be'ravacha v'ravina, but if it's in the middle of the sukkah, then it's machlokas ravacha and ravina, chad amar yesh lavud be'emtza, v'chad amar ein lavud be'emtza. That's already machlokas, whether we apply lavud be'emtza or not. We apply lavud in the middle of the sukkah. The Ritva points out that ravina must be the one who's mekel, that holds yesh lavud be'emtza, because there's Gemara Chulin, Dafsadi Gimel, that says that whenever you have machlokas, ravach and ravina, ravina is always the mekel. Okay, so ravina is the one that's mekel. Now Tosos has an important ha'ara over here. Dibra Maschil ein lavud in the top Tosos. Tosos points out that even according to the shita that ein lavud be'emtza, but tzchach pasul is not going to pasul v'pachas me'arba even be'emtza sukkah, because the way the heter of tzchach pasul less than four tefachim works is not midin lavud. It's a different din. It's just the shear of tzchach pasul is four tefachim. He says, what's my raya that it's not midin lavud? Is that it's four tefachim? It's not three tefachim. So obviously it's not working midin lavud. This discussion of whether yesh lavud be'emtza or ein lavud be'emtza is only about lavud. It's only about airspace. It's not about anything else. Tosfos also points out that the whole machlokas whether we apply lavud be'emtza is only in a case where it goes al panei kol sukkah, where you have airspace that runs from end to end of the sukkah. It's just that it's less than three tefachim of airspace in width that runs from one end to the other end of the sukkah. That's where we say that there's a discussion whether yesh lavud be'emtza or ein lavud be'emtza. But let's say you have a square of 3x3 tefachim of airspace in the middle of 2.9 tefachim by 2.9 tefachim of airspace in the middle of your sukkah, but it doesn't run end to end. It's just a little patch that's open of less than three tefachim by less than, or even by more than three tefachim, by less than three tefachim by, let's say it's 2.9 tefachim by five tefachim. So then, along the sides, you still have schach kasher. So that is not going to invalidate the sukkah. If it's only if it runs from one end to the other end, Tosfos assumes that we would even have a havamina to say that ein lavud be'emtza. But otherwise, we for sure are going to say, that there's yesh lavud be'emtza. Now, why would you hold ein lavud be'emtza? The whole idea of lavud is that anything that's less than three tefachim of airspace, we view as if it's closed off. What difference does it make whether it's on the side or whether it's in the middle? I understand dofen akuma, right? Dofen akuma can only apply on the side because it's somehow a continuation of the wall. It's a din in the mechitza. It's a din in the wall of the sukkah. It's not a din in the schach, but lavud seems to be a din in the schach. So why would it make a difference whether it's near the wall or not near the wall? It's not a din in the wall to begin with. So that's a discussion as to in the achronim as to what the svara might be in the rishonim and the achronim. So the Ran suggests it must be that it is a din in the wall, that the din of lavud according to this shita is a din in the wall, not a din in the schach, and therefore needs to be next to the wall. And what's his right? He says whenever we say the Gemara said back on Davav that good lavud v'dofen akum, we said shir chitzitun mechitzun alach al Moshe Misinai, that there are certain categories that are alach al Moshe Misinai. What does it mean mechitzin or alach al Moshe Misinai? We said good lavud dofen akuma. Lavud is the topic of discussion right now. What about the other two? Are those dinim in walls or dinim in anything in the schach, the wall? Good asik mechitzta, right? Good achis mechitzta. That's clearly a din in the wall. Dofen akuma is clearly a din in the wall. These halachas of Moshe Misinai seem to be dinim in the wall, says the Ran, and therefore maybe lavud is only a din in mechitzot. It's only a din in walls, and that's the svara to say that when you have less than three tefachim of airspace next to the wall, we view the wall as if it's bigger than it really is. We view the wall as if it's just a little bit thicker and it moves over a little bit. It's not a din in the mechitzah. Whereas if you hold yesh lavud be'emtza, so then you hold lavud as a din in the schach. It's not a din in the walls. That's how the Ran explains. The Aruch Lener says a little bit differently. He says that they argue about how lavud works. That the sheet of ein lavud be'emtza holds that the gedder of lavud is that we view it as if the two parts of the schach come close one to the other. So meaning we said, I think we discussed this already once or twice. How does lavud work? There are two ways to view it. You have a gap, right? So how is that gap filled in? So one way to say it fills in is you view it as if one jumps over to the other. It just moves over, right? So it's as if when you have a schach mat that sometimes doesn't quite reach, so what do? You just pull it a little bit. So that's why you're just pulling it. That halachically, we view it as if it's pulled over. The other way to view it is it stays right where it is. And we fill that gap in our brains. We fill that gap with whatever the side material is made out of. So if you say that it's a din that you're pulling it over, so lavud's not lavud be'emtza is going to be challenging, because you pull it over, you're still going to be left with empty space on the side. But so if by being makariv one to the other, you're being misrachik the schach from the dofen. So there's still going to be avir, there's still going to be open air space in the sukkah. So even though you could then be makariv the dofen to the schach al yedei lavud, but that's trey lavud. We'd rather not say trailer. We'd rather not use two lavuds at the same time. So but if you say that, we just view it as if the gap is filled in with more of the same of whatever flanks that gap, so then it would be fine to say love of be'emtza. So that's how the Aruch Lener suggests is this machlokas, whether there's love of be'emtza or there's ein love of be'emtza. But be that as it may, this is a machlokas, right? It's machlokas, Rav Acha and Ravina, whether yesh love of be'emtza or ein love of be'emtza. So now the Gemara explains what's the basis of each one's shita. Where did they get the idea that maybe yesh love of be'emtza, maybe ein love of be'emtza? So my time is not ever yesh love of be'emtza. Why would you apply love of be'emtza? Well, what's your basis? This Titania, we have a brisa. Kora, hayotzi mikosel zav v'inu nogas mikosel acher. That we have a din by a mavui, when you have a mavui that's open to Rosh Hasharabim, in order to be able to carry in that mavui, you need a kora over the entranceway of the mavui, right? That was, we already had this din in the very first daf of this mesecta, the very first line of this mesecta, right? Where the question was, why did we say that a sukkah that's gaval, the malam echav hama, is psula, whereas we said a kora over a mavui that's the you should lower it. Why do we give an eitz of what to do when it comes to a kara over mavoi? Whereas by a sukkah, we just blanket say that it's possible. So the Gemara had two answers, daf beis amud aleph, either because the sukkah is daraisa and mavoi is drabana, so daraisa we make more absolute statements, or because we're going to deal with so many psulim of a sukkah, we can't tell you how to fix each and every one, so we just say that it's possible. But by a mavoi, that we were only dealing with this one psul. So now, in that discussion about a korah, about this beam that's over the mavoi, let's say it's yotzim because of zavinu negas, because of lacher. The beam comes out of one of the side walls of the mavoi, but doesn't quite reach all the way across. Or v'chein shtei korah, sachs yotzim because of zavinu negas, because of lacher, vein nogazubzu. Or you have two beams, one that comes out of each side wall of the mavoi, but they don't quite reach each other in the middle. They don't touch each other in the middle. So is that a valid korah? So the halach is pachus mishlosha ein tzarich lavi korah acheres, but shlosha tzarich lavi korah acheres. It depends. If there's less than a three tefach gap in between them, lavud, it's closed up and it's perfectly fine. If there's more than a three tefach gap in between them, then you have a problem. So, well, wait a second. One of these cases was that it's two korahs coming out from each side and they don't meet in the middle. And we said, oh, if it's less than a three tefach gap, that's fine. Apparently, yesh lavud be'emtza. We apply lavud even in the middle, the idach. And the shita that holds that ein lavud be'emtza will say, shiny korahs drabanan. Yeah, we'll have a lot of kulas when it comes to dinim drabanan, like korahs over a mavoy. And on the daraisa level, there's no problem to be metal to carry in the mavoy anyway. The only concern is you're going to forget and you're going to walk out into Rosh Hashanah. So you have the korah there as a hacker not to walk out into Rosh Hashanah. But since heimamu ve'emamu, the rabbanan are the ones that made that din, so the rabbanan will be makel and lavud be'emtza. But does lavud really work on a daraisa level be'emtza? No, for dinim daraisa like pesukah, it would not work. So my time in the man, the Amr, ain't love of Be'em. So what's the basis of the Shita that we don't say love of Be'em? So where do we ever find that we do not apply love of Be'em? So Ditanan, we have a Mishnah that tells us as follows. Aruba Shebebayis. If let's say you have a skylight in the house, Uba Poseach Tefach, and that skylight is one Tefach by one Tefach, so Tumah Bebayis Kulotame. If there's Tumah in the house, so under the roofed part of the house, so then the whole house is tameh, but masha k'neged aruba tahor. If there's something sitting right underneath that skylight, by a skylight I don't mean like with a glass window, skylight meaning open, like more of a sunroof, I guess. That it's totally open on the top, but it's one tefach by one tefach of open space. So whatever's under the kippas hashamayim, it's under the sky because it's right under where that opening is going to be tahor. Because even though the tumah spreads throughout the entire bayis, it only spreads to what's under to the roof of the bayis. This is a big enough opening that the tumah doesn't spread to what's under the opening. Tumah keneged aruba, and if you have something tameh right underneath that aruba, right underneath that opening, well then the tumah doesn't spread to the whole house. Kol bayis kulo tar, the whole rest of the house is tar, because the tumah is vokas viola, goes straight up and right through the aruba and does not spread throughout the entire house. Ein baruba pasach tefach, but if the aruba is less than a tefach, then we view it as if it's totally closed off. Then tumah bayis keneged aruba, well, not exactly. If tumah bayis, if there's tumah in the house, so everything that's in the house becomes tameh ba'ol ameis, but keneged aruba tahar. If there's something that's under that aruba, it's going to be tar. But tumah keneged aruba, if there's tumah under that aruba, kol bayis kulo tahar. The whole bayis is going to be tar because the bayis is not mahil on the tumah. So we see that the pesach aruba is, I'm sorry, this ein baruba, so the pesach aruba is less than three tefachim. We're not saying lavud to consider it as if it's totally sasum to be mitame whatever's under the aruba together with the rest of the house. Whatever happened to lavud? Why aren't we applying lavud in the case of the ol, in the case of the aruba of the bayis? So says the gemara. Isn't this therefore a raya that we don't apply lavud be'emtsa? The only reason we're not applying lavud in dinei tuma is because we don't say lavud be'emtsa. So the idach, the other shita that says that we do apply lavud be'emtsa, would say shiny hilchos tuma dachi gemiri lu. Nah, hilchos tuma is a separate din. Hilchos tuma is halacha l'moshe misinai of what the shiur is for a dinim of ohel. So be'en achidami, we don't apply three tefachim as less than three tefachim as lavud in dinei ohel ameis. That's a separate area of halacha. But for as far as mechitzos are concerned, dinei mechitzos. So dinei mechitzos that as they apply to erevin, as they apply to sukkah, so that certainly is we're going to apply lavud be'emtsa. So now the Gemara goes back to the discussion of dofen akuma. Darish Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, bayis shenifchas v'sikei chal gabav. Let's say you have a house where the roof caves in the middle, and then you cover it with schach. Ksheira is going to be kosher because you're going to apply dofen akuma on all four sides. Amal from Rabbi Shalom Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Parish. Rabbi, you need to explain a little bit more detail. You can't just say that if the middle of the roof of a house caves in, you can automatically put schach over it and it's kosher. You should know that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, you should know my father, when he said over this halacha, explained it properly. And he said that arba amos psula pachs b'arba amos kshera. That it really depends how much roofing material there still is between the walls of the house and where the schach is going to start. That if there's roof that's more than four amos, then you can no longer apply Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma is only less than four amos. So you got to say things clearly. So that was one drasha Rabbi Lai, one halach Rabbi Lai taught that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi criticized him that he didn't explain clearly enough that it's not always going to be true. Another din, Darash Rabbi Rabbi Lai, Abruma Sharia. We only bring this, I think, because it happens to be that it's also a drasha that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai had said, and he also comes under criticism of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, even though this one has really nothing to do with sukkah. He says an abruma, it's a type of fish, some type of small fish, is mutter to eat, even though they're very tiny, and the shratzim that they might have are not going to be easily found. Amr lefan Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Parish, you got to explain what you're talking about. Not every place where you pick up a bruma fish are they going to be mutter. Kach Amar Abba, my father knew how to teach it. He used to say as follows, that shalmakum ploni asura, that a bruma that comes from certain rivers are going to be asur, because there are a lot of shratzim tameim in those rivers, and they're very tiny, so you're not going to easily find them, and you're not going to be easily able to separate them out from the abruma. But shalmakum ploni muteres, but if you find in other rivers, then it's going to be mutter, because in those places you're not going to find shratzim, you're not going to find non-kosher items that get mixed in with the abruma. And this is very similar to what Abaye taught, that certain tiny fish from the river Bav, Sharia, they're mutter b'achila. You're allowed to eat those small fish. My time. So why is it that when you pick up these teeny fish in Bav Nahara, in the river Bav, that you don't have to worry about it? If it's because the water is raging water, that so v'hai dag tamek, even the lesle, chuta shidro lo matzi ka'im, and a non-kosher fish, since it doesn't have a spinal column, is not going to never be able to survive in such a river, in such waters, and therefore you don't have to worry that you're eating non-kosher fish, because they would never make it in such a place anyway. But you look and you see that there are non-kosher fish even in raging rapid rivers. So don't tell me that it can't be that you're going to have non-kosher fish in such a place. You do. It must be that it's because the Bav River is a very salty, mineral-laden body of water. And since the it doesn't have any scales to protect its skin, so a non-kosher fish that doesn't have scales is not going to be able to withstand the Bav, the salt and the minerals of the Bav River. So you can't say that either, because but there are non-kosher fish in very very salty water. No, it must be that the reason we're not choshesh by the Bav River for non-kosher fish is because the seabed of the Bav River is just not megadol dag tame. It's just not an area where dag tame can survive. But not based on the salt, not based on the raging rapids. It's just that you're not going to find any kosher fish, any non-kosher fish there. So by the Abruma, we're going to say the same thing, that in these rivers that are megadol shratzim tameim, you're not allowed to eat the Abruma, because you might mix in shratzim tameim. You might eat the non-kosher fish as well, because they're not going to be so easily recognizable since they're so tiny. Whereas rivers that are not megadol shratzim tameim, you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara just adds Amar Ravina ve'idna d'shavchi Nahar Esan, Nahar Gamda Lahasam Asira. Nowadays, that the water comes from Nahar Esan, Nahar Gamda, where there are non-kosher fish, to the Nahar Bav, then you cannot rely on this anymore. And if you find fish in Nahar Bav, you're not allowed to eat those fish either. So that's just the second halacha that Rabbi Lai taught, having nothing to do with the first halacha, l'chora, just other than the fact that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi wasn't happy about it. That's the only connection between the two. This line of Gemara, though, about when are we concerned for other fish, and why can't you just look and see if the scales are there, when they're nicker, when they're not nicker, the Rashash has an important comment over here that may relate to the whole tuna fish controversy, whether we can rely on the OU tuna fish, or do we have to be choshesh that maybe when they catch all these fish, that maybe there are non-kosher fish that are mixed in with it. This was a machlokas Rav Shechter Rav Belsky. Rabbi Ganak was machria like Rav Shechter. That's why the OU gives hashgacha on the tuna fish. It was a machlokas Rav Shechter Rav Belsky about the OU tuna fish, but not for now. But if you look at Rav Shechter's article on the topic, you'll see he quotes this Gemara and the Rashash on this Gemara. So anyway, back to Masechta Sukkah. Itmar sika chal gabe apsadra. If you put schach over an apsadra, so an apsadra was a chatzah that's surrounded by houses on three sides, and there's like a little awning that comes out from the houses on all three sides. So you fill that area with schach. So sheish lo p'tzimin, if it's an apsadra that has p'tzimin, that there are poles that hold up that awning, at the edges of those awnings. So then, and those poles are less than three tefachim from each other, so you could apply lavud. So ksheira, then the sukkah is going to be kosher, because the poles themselves make up a wall. But shein l'ptzim, and if they don't have those poles, then Abaye amar ksheira, Rava amar psula. Rava holds it's going to be pasul. Abaye says it's still going to be kosher. Rava says it's going to be pasul. What's the machlokes? Abaye amar ksheira. Abaye says that it's going to be kosher. Why? I mean, pitikri or visosim. You don't need poles to be within three tefachim of each other to make lavud, to make the walls around the achsadra. No, the pitikra itself, the width of the awning itself is a tefach, and therefore the halacha is halacha Moshe Mishina. Pitikra is yared visosim. We view that as if it's a wall that encloses that area. So since it's a wall that goes down and encloses that area, those can function as the walls of the sukkah. So we say pitikra yared visosim. Rava amar psula lo amin pitikra yared visosim. And Rava will say, no, we do not apply pitikra. Rava challenges Abaye, lididach dam pitikri or v'sosim. According to you, that we apply this principle of pitikri or v'sosim, afilu hivchis dofen amtsai, would you say that even if the middle wall is gone and the sukkah is like an open mavoi, that it's going to be kosher? Because you could say pitikra of the thick boards are yori v'sosim, and we should view it as if there's a wall there. So amalei modin lach bayhi davle kamavim foolish. No, I would agree in such a case that the sukkah would be possible, because then it becomes like a mavli mafulish. Since the rabbim can walk right through, so then you can't say pitur kriyor v'sosim. Meaning, pitur kriyor v'sosim is a halachal moshe misinai that we view it as if there's a wall there. But if it's so obvious that it's not a wall, that it's not a mechitza, because it's not even stopping traffic, that there's massive amounts of traffic walking right through it, then you can't apply pitur kriyor v'sosim, when you have traffic walking right through it. Over here, we're talking about an achsadra that's surrounded by awnings. So there are houses in each side. So there aren't massive amounts of traffic walking through because there's nowhere to walk to. There are houses there. So then you can say Pitikra Yorim Vesosim. So we're assuming that the basis of Rava, that we don't say Pitikra Yorim Vesosim when you're Mesakal Gabi Achsadra, is because he holds that only a case where the Sukkah has one or two walls kill Chasan, that you could say that the rest of the walls are Kasha Yidei Pitikra Yorim Vesosim. But a Sukkah that doesn't even have one wall and you're relying on Pitikra Yorim Vesosim on all the sides, that can't work. So says Gemara, Lema Abayi Rav took the Rav Shmuel Kamifelgi. Maybe this is already an earlier machlokas Amoraim. The Itmar Achsadra Bebika. If you have an Achsadra in an open space in a bika, Rav Mutal Tatal Bekulo. Rav says you could carry in the whole thing because you could apply Damrin Pitikri Ervisosim. You apply Pitikri Ervisosim on the edges of the roof of the Achsadra, even though it's in a wide open area. Ushmuel Amar Emetalzma Elabar Bavos Dalamrin Pitikri Ervisosim. And Shmuel says that you don't say Pitikri Ervisosim in such a case. So it must be that Abaye, who holds Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim, holds like Shita of Rav, that you could say Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim even in a heavy traffic area, even when it's wide open, when not a heavy traffic area, but even in a place where you're using Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim on all four sides, you don't have any real walls. All of your walls are Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim walls. So those two shitos align. They use Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim according to Abaye here in Hilchos Sukkah. And Rav says you do the same in Hilchos Shabbos when you have an Achsadra Bebeka. And Ravu holds that you do not apply Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim when there are no walls, when there are no actual walls. Holds like Shmuel, because Shmuel says something very similar in Hilchos Shabbos. So says Mar, no. Alibud Shmuel Kuli Amalo Pligi. According to Shmuel, that you don't say Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim on all four sides in Hilchos Shabbos, everyone agrees. Abai is also moda that Shmuel would say not to apply Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim over here either. Ki pligi alibud the Rav. The whole machlokes is within Shitas Rav. Abaye Karav, Abaye says like Pashtos of Rav, V'Rava Amalach, and Rav would say to you that even Rav is not going to be Makshir the Sukkah through Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim, even though he was Makshir carrying on Shabbos in Achsadra Bebika, because Ad Kalom Rav Hasel El Demechitzas Achsadra Hu Da'avidi, because over there the Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim is at least meant to enclose the Achsadra. Aval Hacha De'lav Lahach Yavidi Lo. But over here, what's the Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim we're using? We're using the awnings that are coming out of the houses. Those are meant to enclose the porches in front of the houses, not the chatzar that's in the middle, which we're actually using for the sukkah. So Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim can only work for the area that the Pitur Kriyor V'Sosim is meant to work for, but not for any other area. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Tanan. Have a great day, everybody.
Sai Gazon, take care.
Take care. Have a good day.
Shkaz.